Please pray with me. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Amen. Please be seated. So I went to a new pet store this week looking for a self-service dog washing station because I'm thinking there has got to be a better way to wash Buddy than to wrestle him into the bathtub. He is 65 pounds. And when he's wet, it's tricky. So I went to the store, and the owner was very knowledgeable and passionate about dog nutrition and well-being. And he welcomed me in, and before I could even ask him a question about the dog watching station, he began to talk about his philosophy, about dog nutrition and his passion for it, and about the current trends in dog food. And I know all the history now of processed dog food. And he stressed the importance that dogs need to eat meat. So to give me a more complete understanding of just how important meat is for a dog's nutrition and what his store was all about, he turned to this display case and he pulled out for me first of all, remember, I've been a vegetarian for over 40 years, and, I'm not completely phobic, but I don't like to look or touch, meat. So he pulls out raw, freeze-dried bits, right? And so they're like gray. And he takes out of the... takes out a duck head with the beak and the neck and hands it to me. Oh my gosh, I just jumped backwards. And then he took out a chicken neck and a snout of somebody and ears of somebody else. And I just keep stepping backwards with each random raw freeze-dried part. So, if you want the best dog food in town, I recommend you go to this place, but leave your squeamish vegetarian friends at home. So this long and detailed story of mine demonstrates that sometimes the point of a story can get lost in the details of telling your story. My point being that, yes, I can wash Buddy there, standing up in this big self-service dog washing thing. Well, that seems to be what's going on in our gospel this morning. Jesus usually tells a parable a certain way. He always says, God the Father is like, and then, like a good shepherd, or God the Father is like the forgiving and welcoming Father. And so we anticipate that. And then we hear a story where Jesus is using a different literary tool, and he's flipped it around, and it's the opposite. So since we're used to hearing God is like, we hear this gospel, and we wonder, what is Jesus telling us? Is God like that disrespectful, unjust judge? And so I want to kind of clear it up, because the first and last lines contain his point. Jesus tells his disciples and us that we need to pray always and not lose heart. And then if you skip the story, you get down to the main point, which says, and God's going to give justice to those who cry out to him day and night, and he won't delay long in helping them. Jesus tells us he will quickly grant justice to them. So, like I said, some of us get lost in the details of the storytelling, and we assume that God is that hardened judge. But Jesus' parables, they do tell us about God, but often it's not the first person we assume in the story. Jesus likes to turn things upside down. So what if we consider God is the persistent widow? God as the one who will not stop crying out every single day for justice and compassion. Because this isn't a story about a bad, self-centered judge. This story is about the persistent prayers of God's people will be heard. And God wants us to help in the work of bringing in compassion and justice to others. And then when we hear that, we're like, ooh, that can be overwhelming. So again, we start small. And we do one thing every day. And with our prayers and God's help, we can contribute to making a more just and compassionate world. So this story, it's about prayer. Well, and that makes us have to go back and be sure we're all on the same page with what is prayer. Well, prayer first requires that you believe in God and that you believe that God will act. And prayer is being open to receiving what God offers and confident that God will act even if it takes a while. It's because Jesus tells us to be persistent in our praying, don't give up, and don't lose heart. Well, author and theologian Kathleen Norris writes about this in her book, Amazing Grace. She says, prayer is not asking for what you think you want, but asking to be changed in ways you can't imagine, to be made more grateful, more able to see the good that you have already been given, instead of always grieving for what might have been. Prayer is about asking God to change us in ways we can't imagine so that we're more grateful. Prayer is a matter of faith. Prayer is a matter of trust and reliance on God and of believing in God. And prayer is an act of trust that, well, it lines us up with God and with the future he wants, which is full of compassion and justice. Now, living this way can be challenging, especially when praying seems meaningless because things aren't changing the way we want. The situation may not change, yet praying will change us. And because we pray, we're building our relationship with God and deepening our dependence on God, which is what God wants. So we pray as Jesus encourages us to pray with persistence, and we keep at it. And like Jacob in our Old Testament reading, we are invited to wrestle with God and share our struggles in our prayers. We can be angry. God can take it. This is how we are transformed into better followers of Jesus. When we pray, when we're in constant communication with God, well, we're transformed into people who are better lovers. When we pray like this, we offer God our entire selves, our entire lives. Now, it's mid-October, so of course our annual stewardship program is beginning. And Reverend Jeannie's been writing about this, our theme, in the last couple weekly and monthly newsletters. And we chose the theme, Lift Up Your Hearts. And it's an invitation and the response that we use in worship at the beginning of Eucharist. We say, lift up your hearts, and you all respond, we lift them to the Lord at the beginning of our communal feast of thanksgiving, of gratitude. So listen for it after the gifts come up and we begin. We are lifting up our hearts to God, and then we're lifting up our whole selves, our lives, up to God as well. So as part of this stewardship program of lifting up our hearts, we're inviting everyone to open your hearts and your minds to aspiration and inspiration. Now, these two words share a common Latin root for to breathe. And in theology, inspiration is used to mean taking in divine influence. So as believers, every breath we take in is infused with God's presence. If we believe that the Holy Spirit is in us and around us, every breath can be a prayer, a connection to the very presence of the God who loves us. And because of God's presence in our lives, we can lift up our hearts to God in gratitude for every blessing, in gratitude for every challenge that grows us into better followers and better lovers for our lives and to change beyond our imagination. The question for us is, what do we aspire or what do we desire to give back to God in response to God's love to us? So we're going to take a few minutes in silence and pray and think as creatively as we can about what you want to give back to God this next year. And we want you to think without limits, as if each one of us has unlimited resources of time and energy. Oh, wouldn't that be great? Talent and money. If you used your greatest imagination without putting any limits, what would you aspire to give back to God for all the good that God has given you? So we're going to help you with that by giving you a little piece of white paper that's already shoved in your bulletin so that you can write down and capture your thoughts. So go ahead and find that little piece of white paper and dig around for a pen or a pencil. And before you start, just find it, because I'm going to pray us into our time of silence to think. Remember, you're going to write, because there really is something about writing your thought or your intention or your goal down. Write the greatest thing. The greatest thing you could offer to God. No limits. Get wild. And this list is private. It's just between you and God. Okay? And when you're done, we want you to crumple it up. And then as you come forward for communion, there's this little red box that says, lift up your heart. We want you to drop it in there. And then after church, we're going to go out to the fire pit and we'll burn them. The reason why we burn it is because it's a long-standing tradition in every faith to light candles or have a fire or burn incense, because that smoke is symbolic of our prayers rising to God. So, and then only you and God are going to know, right, as you send your aspiration up to God symbolically in that smoke. And then over the next couple weeks, we're going to encourage you and invite you to pray for inspiration so that you can bring that big goal, that big aspiration into reality. So you got your piece of paper and your pencil, and we're going to be silent for just a few moments. And I'll pray us in, and then I'll say amen when we're done. But to get ready, sit comfortably and close your eyes, and I invite you to breathe in a nice, deep, spirit-filled breath, and then slowly let it out. And do it again. Breathe in the Holy Spirit, and slowly exhale. So let me pray for us. Good and gracious God, the source of all, you encourage us to pray without ceasing and to pray for compassion and for the justice our world needs. This morning, we come to you asking for inspiration, for you to fill us with limitless aspirations of giving back to you with gratitude. Fill our hearts with imagination and generosity as we privately respond to your love. So be as creative as you can as you write down your thought of your aspiration of how you demonstrate your gratitude to God. And then crumple it. And on your way to our great Thanksgiving feast of communion, we invite you to put it in the red box. Amen.